truly been a blessing to be with you this weekend. This is one of my favorite places to come. This is a Bethel spot for me. I like your name. That's very appropriate. And we enjoy being in your presence and hope that you all can come and visit us in Mississippi any chance that you get. We've enjoyed having Brother Sunday come and preach for us at my home church a couple of times. And I know you're not supposed to have favorite preachers, but I was thrilled when they invited Brother Sunday because he is, I don't know if he's my, he's one of my favorites. I hate to say that I have favorite preachers. I don't even want to acknowledge I do that, but I do. I'm sure that you don't do that. You're better at me than that. But we've enjoyed having Brother Sunday be with us and been a great blessing. And you and I share something in common. We both like hearing Brother Sunday preach. And I'm sad that this Sunday you won't. You didn't last Sunday or this Sunday, and I'm sad that I'm in the way of that. But we are thankful to be with you, and we have greatly enjoyed time we spent with you. We feel right at home here. Last night as we were singing, it took me back to the days of my childhood when in Mississippi we used to gather together in the evenings and sing the songs and have all four parts represented. It was just a great time. I've really enjoyed being with you all this weekend. Appreciate very much the invitation to come. If you have your Bibles, like to turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. I like to notice something with you in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." I'm sure you're very familiar with this chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, and the many mentions of the word faith in this chapter. Certainly, he gives many examples of those who did what they did by faith. As we were singing that song this morning, "Give me the wings of faith to rise." I find that the life of the child of God is blessed to be able to rise above the affairs of this life by faith. By faith, you're able to do things that naturally, normally, you would not. By faith, all these Bible characters did what they did. But as that song described to us, they all shared the same experience that you and I do. They all shed tears. They all had the same struggles. And now, they are no longer here on this earth. These all died in faith, the text says. Not having received the promises. There are some things that God promised that they didn't receive in their lifetime. There are promises that you and I have today that they did not back in that day. We are so blessed to live in the time that we have. For all the promises of God in Jesus are yea and amen. But they lived before the time of Jesus. They didn't receive the promises, but they saw them afar off, like Abraham on Mount Moriah, who he saw Jesus' day and he rejoiced at seeing that. They saw them afar off, and they were persuaded of them. You know, there's one thing about God and his promises. God cannot lie. God can't die. He can't deny himself. There's many things that prevent God from being able to fulfill his promise. If he's promised it, he's going to bring it to pass. And they were persuaded of that, and they embraced that. If we're going to live a life of faith, we also need to stand upon the promises of God, be persuaded of them, and embrace them. And oh, what a safe and secure life you will live. No matter what the storms of life rage, you'll be able to stand steadfast unmovable, always abounding in the work of God, because your hope is your anchor of your soul. They embraced them, and this is the part I'd like for us to consider this morning. They confessed something. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. This was their confession. They confessed that they were two things. They were strangers and pilgrims. A stranger is someone who is away from home. A pilgrim is someone who's on a journey. And they confessed, they acknowledged this reality, this truth, that here on earth they were not at home. And here on earth they were just traveling through this life for a little while. You know, I enjoy traveling. In fact, that's something you can get addicted to if you're not careful, but it'll cost you money. But when I travel, I'm in a hotel room or living out of a suitcase. I don't enjoy that part of it. But I enjoy traveling around. I enjoy seeing different places. But long about a week, I start to get a little homesick. And I start wanting to get back home. I'm not in the best of moods after a week away from home, so don't keep me away from home that long. But I'll tell you, when it comes to you and I living here on this earth, this should be our confession, our understanding, that this world is not our home. We are pilgrims and strangers here on the earth. This world is not our home. You know, that confession, it says they confess that. You can go in the Old Testament and read where that is what they declared. Abraham in Genesis chapter 23 and verse 4, he declared that I am a stranger and a sojourner here. Moses named his son Gershom, which means stranger, because I'm a stranger in a strange land. We find David in Psalm 39, I believe, confessing that he was a stranger and a sojourner. They were making this confession that they were strangers in a strange land, and they were just sojourning, or they were pilgrims just traveling through. And you and I, that's what we are. We are pilgrims and strangers in this land. This world is not our home. It is not the place that we can call home. Now, some people get very, they start to make this place a home, and make it in such a sense that they start to forget about God. They start to forget about where their real home is. You know, in the United States of America, we have foreign embassies in other lands. But you know, sometimes an American citizen, I think about this often. When I was at the Air Force Academy, we had a graduate, very smart and intelligent. He was a Rhodes Scholar. And he went over there to Oxford, I believe, in England. And then he spoke out against the wars that we were having. And he had a lot of problems with his military service and his citizenship because of that, him doing that. I remember Elder Sonny Piles talked about his brother Buzzy. He was a Rhodes Scholar and went over there, and he left here a red-blooded American and came home a bleeding-heart communist. And, you know, some folks, they can get to traveling and they start to identify with the place where they're at. I'll tell you, that's a dangerous place for the child of God to begin to make this world their home. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, I can't quote it, so I'm going to turn to it. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says this, verse 6. He says, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. When you're at home in the body, you're absent from the Lord. Verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Notice that. Verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That's when you're at home. When you're with the Lord, then you're home. You're not at home here in this world. This world is not your home. Bible says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, that our conversation is in heaven. That word conversation, if you look it up, it actually means citizenship. You are citizens of heaven's pure world, not this world. This world's not your home. It's like we are traveling in China. That's what it's like. Now, if you've studied foreign languages, you're way ahead of me, and you can be able to get around. I depend on people knowing English whenever I leave this country. A lot of them do. I'm thankful they do. But if I go to China, that writing's wrote and rotten, as Popeye says. I don't know what those words even mean. What does all those symbols mean? I mean, imagine trying to get around in China. That's the way it is for us in this life. They speak a different language. They look different. They act different. Everything's different, you understand. The child of God is not at home in this world. So what about our home? What about home? Let's talk about our home for a little while this morning. You know, in John chapter 17, Jesus prays this prayer to his Father, and he says something very interesting that I'd like to notice with you. He says this in the 17th chapter of John, in praying to God. He says in verse 14, praying about his disciples, I have given them thy word. A message from home. Good news from a far country. I'll tell you, we have something as a blessing here in this embassy, if I may call the church this. We have a blessing in having good news from home. The gospel, that word literally means good tidings, good news. And he says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. I'll tell you what you're going to find in that world. You're going to find hate. Say, well, Brother James, we don't allow hate speech. Oh, they don't call it that, but I'll tell you, it is hate. That's what you're going to find. I'm amazed. I'm a little tangent here. That in the name of tolerance, we can be so intolerant. Have you noticed that? You know, in the name of not being hateful, we're going to be full of hate. Oh, they mask it, they hide it, but it's there. Jesus said, the world hath hated them because, notice this, they are not of the world. Even as I am not of the world. Notice, Jesus says, I am not of the world. And they are neither. You are not either. You are not of this world. This world is not your home, you understand. You're not at home. You're a pilgrim and a stranger in a strange land. In John chapter 18, when Jesus is before Pontius Pilate, Pilate's interrogating him and asking him questions, and this is what Jesus says in John 18:36. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. Notice he says, I am not of this world. You're not of this world, and my kingdom is not of this world. We have something here in the Lord's kingdom that is not of this world. Didn't come from this world. It came from heaven itself. Say, well, what's so important about the church? It came from heaven itself. It's not of this world. I'll tell you, that makes it important. That makes it far above anything else that this life has. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. I'll tell you, when I was in the military in the United States of America, we had some brave soldiers who went out there and fought for our country. And may we never forget about them and the sacrifice that they made. But Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. He could have called more than 12 legions of angels to come down and rescue him. His kingdom wasn't of this world. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were of this world, then would my servant fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. You know, Peter tried to fight it with the sword. The Lord hadn't called us to physically fight on defense of the Lord's kingdom. Now, a time may come when we get under attack in such a way that we got to defend our families, defend our homes, and in whatever way the Lord leads us to do that. But when it comes to the Lord's kingdom, his kingdom is not of this world. We have something here that is not of this world, but it's of our home. Why do we feel at home in the church? Because it is a part of our home. The Lord's given us this place of refuge, this place to turn to, this place to come to that is like we're at home. You know, if you stop and think about what heaven is going to be like. Let's consider, I see three things that that heaven is going to have, that I believe that we can experience a heaven on earth if we have these three things. First of all, in heaven, I see that we are going to be with Jesus. Second of all, I see we're going to be like Jesus. And third of all, we're going to be worshiping and glorifying Jesus. There's several scriptural proof that says that we're going to be with Jesus. Jesus says in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you that I may receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be with me also. Bible says when the Lord comes back again, 1 Thessalonians 4, that when we depart and be with Christ, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with Him in glory. We're going to be with Him. I love being around family. I love being around church folks. It's a great blessing. When I'm not around you, it's hard. This coronavirus, not being around people has been difficult in different ways, but what a blessing when we can be with one another. That's a great blessing. But imagine being with Jesus for all eternity. Can you imagine that? We're going to be with Him. We're going to be like Him. We've been predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. We'll be like Him. We'll see Him as He is because we'll be like Him. Bible says, when I awake with Thy likeness, I shall be satisfied. We'll be like Him. Be with Him. We'll be like Him. And we'll be worshiping Him. What are they saying that John saw in that revelation? Worthy is the Lamb. They worship and glorify the Lamb of God that redeemed them by His blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. We'll be doing those three things. But I ask you this morning, can we do those three things now? Can we do them now? If we can, then we start to experience heaven on earth. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 11 that there are things that you can do to experience the days of heaven on earth. Wouldn't that be something? How can we be with Jesus now? Well, Jesus promised in Matthew 18, where two or three or more gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them. We can be with Him when we gather together, but it takes something out of us. We've got to gather together, and how? In His name. We could come in the church building, but not be gathered in His name. That takes effort on our part to gather in His name. And whose name are we here this morning? Should be in His name. He has promised in Hebrews chapter 2 that He will be in the midst of the church, declaring God's name to His brethren and singing praises to God in the midst of the church. What a blessing the singing has been this weekend. Yesterday morning, I was just amazed. The Lord clearly was singing with us yesterday morning, right when we started this meeting. Oh, what a blessing to be with Him in this service. We can be like Him. We can seek to be, Proverbs 31 describes the virtuous woman. And I remember one time someone was asking me, well, where's the chapter about the virtuous man? Are we off the hook? Do we not have to? I said, well, I think we got more in the chapter. I think we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We have four books about the man. Pilate in John 19 presented Him and said, behold the man. I'll tell you that statement, that three-word expression, this is the ultimate man. You want to know what being a man is, you look at this man. I'll tell you, if you want to be like Him, that can start right now. If we're going to I've spent the last several years of my life trying to get better. There's some things about me that are not right, that need improvement, and I'm trying to get better. I know people can point out my faults and the things I'm doing right, but I'm trying to get better. And I'll tell you what direction I'm trying to go. I'm trying to be more like Jesus, because that's how I'll be one day. If I go the other way, that's not the right direction. This world, they talk about being progressive, and they're actually talking about going this way. No, if we want to be progressive, you need to go that way. More like Jesus. Up. Give me the wings of faith to rise. That's where we need to go. Well, this world's not our home. Let's rise above it. It takes the wings of faith to do that. Be with Him, be like Him, and be worshiping Him. Glorify Him. Do everything that we do in the name of Jesus. You see how we can experience home away from home. Away from home in this world, we can experience home. If I asked you this morning, what makes your home home to you? You know, we all have our homes. Ours is in Mississippi. Y'all have homes here in Texas. What makes your place your home? Well, you may say, well, I mean, it's my family land. I inherited it. Or you may say, well, I mean, I bought it. I worked, and it's the fruit of my labor. Or you may say, well, all my treasures that I've collected through the years are there. My clothes are there. That makes it my home. Or you may say, well, my family's there. That's where my family lives. That's what makes it home. Well, I want you to think about heaven in those terms. You say, well, I inherited this place, so it's my home. Do you realize that heaven is described as your inheritance? Your inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, it fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Heaven is your inheritance. Because you are heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, that's your inheritance, is heaven. That's your home. You say, well, I work hard and I bought this place or I built this place and it's my home. Well, Jesus worked hard. He did a work that none of the rest of us could do. And He went and He prepared a place for you. In His Father's house, He says, are many mansions. And I go to prepare a place for you. You know, there's no better builder or construction than the work of God. Look how He built the church. He made it up of lively stones. No man could do that. He put the stone that the builders rejected, made the headstone of the corner. No man would have done it that way. Say, God prepared a place for you. He built it. He worked. It's the fruit of His labor. Say, well, that's where all my possessions are, my treasures are. I'm going to tell you, you've got far better treasures waiting for you at home. Your treasures, the things that you value. In fact, we are supposed to be laying up treasures in heaven, not on the earth, where moth or rust doth corrupt. There's treasures. You say, well, that's where my clothes are. Well, turn me to Revelation chapter, I believe, 19. And it talks about the bride of Christ. And it says in verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. You've got clothes. You've got clothes waiting for you at home. You can put on, will put on. That have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Tell you, that's the place. You say, well, that's where my home is, where my family is, the people I love, the people I'm close to. You know, there's an interesting expression. It talks about the saints of God when they passed away. It says they were gathered to their people. Gathered to their people. You know, that expression is not describing being buried in the cemetery next to your other family members. And I can prove that to you in just Jacob. He died in Egypt, and it says, and he was gathered to his people. But it wasn't months later until he was actually buried back in Israel. He was gathered to his people when he died, because his people are the Lord's people, and they're the people there in heaven. The family, the Bible describes the family of heaven and earth. That's the family of God. God's people are your people. You know, in Ephesians chapter 2, I believe it is, he talks about how we who were afar off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. He talks about how in verse 19 of Ephesians 2, he says, now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God. Now notice we're talking about the people. You're not a stranger and a foreigner in heaven. You're not going to go there and not understand the language. You're not going to go there and just be an outcast and not accepted with everyone else. He's made you accepted in the Beloved. Don't worry, He's taking care of that. You are a fellow citizen with the saints and of the household of God. And I'm going to tell you something about the church. If you're not of this world, and Jesus is not of this world, and our citizenship is in heaven, and His kingdom is not of this world, you have something here that you won't find anywhere else. To be a fellow citizen with the saints and of the household of God, here in the Lord's church, you have something that is not of this world. You have a piece of home right here in God's house. This is the house of God. 1 Timothy 3:15, he talks about behaving ourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. You want to find God, go to His house. This is the house of God, the church of the living God. This is the place where you can find a home here on earth that you won't find anywhere else. Because you are no longer a stranger and a foreigner, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And as Brother Sonny was talking about in the book of Acts, he says, verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. We should not be any different from where they were. Still in the apostles' doctrine, still building upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Paul told Timothy the same thing, the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Notice, he wasn't at liberty to change anything. None of this needs to be changed. We should still have it the way it was 2,000 years ago when the Lord set up the church. Otherwise, we've lost our way and we've lost our home. And oh, that would be a terrible place to be. Because our home is described as a paradise. Jesus told that thief on the cross, this day thou shalt be with me, where? In paradise. Paradise. Turn me to Psalm 16. And notice what it says about your home. See, when the Lord comes back again, all the holy angels with Him, He'll separate them as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And says He'll put His sheep on the right hand, the goats on the left. With that in mind, notice the last verse of Psalm 16, verse 11. He says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now notice it says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. You know, there's something that we experience in this life. There are some things, I'll just say, that we experience in this life that are heavenly. They're not of this world. And one of those is joy. You know, joy is something that we'll have in heaven. We will have fullness of joy. And Peter describes it as joy unspeakable and full of glory. When you go to heaven, you will experience joy that you can't describe, can't even tell about. You just got to experience it. It's joy unspeakable, it's full of glory. And he says, in thy presence is fullness of joy, fullness of it. Just, can you imagine, you know, we get downcast in this life, and we go through moments of sorrow and sadness and all life circumstances that weigh us down. But can you imagine a constant experience of fullness of joy? That's all that it is. If you've ever experienced a momentary glimpse of joy, imagine having that all the time in such a way that you never come down. In other words, you stay on that fullness of joy. That's the way it is in God's presence. And at God's right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. You know, it seems like people today are so caught up in just pleasures. Just doing this for fun and doing that for fun. I do it too. I like to have fun. But, you know, there are some things that, back home, we have rivers that run through there, as y'all do, I'm sure. And I see those machines, people going down there to the river, and there's nothing wrong with doing that. But I see them carrying these beverages, heading out there, and they're going to have some pleasures in their own mind. They're gonna do it in their own way. I'll just say it that way. But that's not the kind of pleasure that he has under consideration here. But he has a pleasure in mind that you can't recreate in these worldly pleasures. This is a pleasure that is in with this fullness of joy, a pleasure forevermore, a pleasure that never ends. You know, I used to tell my mom when I was younger, when things would, it's hard leaving. We're going to have a hard time leaving today, but, you know, we have responsibilities, we've got to do it. But when I was younger and we go visit our cousins and everyone else, I just didn't want to leave. I said, Mom, you know, I don't know why we don't just stay here all the time and then just never, you know, it's like going to Disney World. Let's just stay here and never leave. And my mom would always say this statement, is a pleasure a pleasure if a pleasure remains? See, things get old. It no longer becomes a pleasure if you're doing it over and over again. Even if it's something you enjoy and you really like. I like playing golf, but I don't want to do it all day, every day. I'd get sick of it, you understand. But when it comes to this pleasure, this is a pleasure that never grows old. You never get tired of it. You never have enough of it. It's pleasures forevermore at His right hand. You know, I was in the Air Force. They gave us some etiquette training, and some of us needed that more than others. But they told us that the right hand is the position of honor. Can you fathom for a moment that the God of this universe, the God of all creation, has put us in the position of honor? That's because of what Jesus did, not what we did. Because Jesus is on the right hand of God. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. You say, well, I'd like to go ahead and start enjoying these things. Well, let's talk about that for a moment. Don't we want a little piece of home right now? What about having some joy in our life? You know, one time I was called on to travel to Taiwan. Now, that's a long way from here. And I had to fly to Los Angeles, and then I got on a 14-hour flight to Taipei from Los Angeles. Now, I'm used to flying, used to long flights, but I've never been on a flight that long. I'm used to just getting on the plane and going to sleep and wake up, and I'm usually there. Well, I went on that plane, and I went to sleep, and I woke up, and I had 11 hours to go. And I was in there was three sections, and I was in the middle of the middle section, and for some reason, my seat had no room under the seat in front of me. There was a big box there, and I couldn't stick my feet there. And I thought, you know, this is a long way to fly, and I can't even stretch my feet out. Fortunately, the lady beside me left. I don't even know where she went for 10 hours or 11 hours. I took her seat. But anyway, when you get on those planes, you either turn left or you turn right. In this case, you want to turn left. Because if you go left, you're going to first class. I turn right. In first class, their seats fold all the way down into beds. They were doing very well on that flight. And they get the best the plane has to offer. The best food, the best service, the best of everything. Now, I'll tell you, when I've thought about that flight, and I thought about life, you know, some people choose by their own choice to go right. In this case, you're not saving money to do that. You're actually spending more to do that. To go left, that's a life of joy. Imagine going through your whole life just full of joy. You know, joy is not the same as happiness. You know, happiness comes and goes. Bible tells us how we can be happy and things that we can do to be happy. And it's not what this world tells you will bring happiness. But joy is something that you can have all the time. So how is that? How can we have joy all the time? Well, the Bible tells us in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I'll tell you, no matter what your life circumstances are, you think about, you can always rejoice in the Lord. Always. There's not a time in your life that you can't rejoice in the Lord and what He's done. No matter what is going on in your life or the world around you. Because after all, we need the wings of faith to rise above the cares and the trials of this life to live that life of joy. Oh, I tell you what, I want to turn left when I got on that plane. I want to go through my life in first class, as it will. You know, God can give us richly all things to enjoy. God can give us a life that is full of all the good things, because that's what heaven's pure world is like. Don't you know God can shower down showers of blessings from heaven that we might experience the days of heaven here on earth? But I'll tell you, it's going to take a confession that you're pilgrims and strangers in this earth. You got to first acknowledge that fact. And then second, you've got some responsibility to become into the Lord's kingdom that's not of this world. You've got some responsibility to seek to do the things that you're going to be doing in heaven. You say, well, in heaven you say we're going to be worshiping the Lord for all eternity. Great, we'll be stuck to a church pew for all eternity. Well, no, you worship and glorify God in the things that you do and say. You know, you're not just in a church service here. In fact, you're all preachers. You are all preaching when you go out into this world. Some people preach on Facebook. Some people just preach when they go into Walmart. And if necessary, they have to open their mouth. You understand, the life that you live is a sermon in itself. And you glorify God when you do everything that you do in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you can't say it, or you can't do it in the name of Jesus Christ, we might not should be doing it. But in heaven, I find there are lots of things. You know, there's a lot we don't know about heaven. Can't describe it. Can't tell you. I don't even know where it's at. I looked outside this morning, and y'all have beautiful stars. And Brother Jeb told me it's because I'm in Texas. I can see the stars so good. But I saw Mars on this side and Venus on that side this morning before the sun came up. And, you know, they say men are from Mars and women are from Venus. I saw both of them this morning. I don't know if that means anything. But when the sun came up, I no longer saw them.
That's right.
In heaven, it's not going to be about you and about me. It's going to be about the Son of Righteousness who arises with healing in His wings. There's going to be no night there. There's going to be no sun there. There's only going to be the Lamb of God. There's going to be no temple. You're not going to be stuck to a church pew. There'll be no church building there because He's the temple. He is the Son. He is He is everything in heaven, you understand. It all revolves around Him. And we can take comfort in the fact this morning of knowing what won't be in heaven. There'll be no tears in heaven. There'll be no sin in heaven. No sorrow, no suffering, no pain. There'll be nothing that entereth in that defileth or maketh a lie. There'll be none of that. I used to say there'll be no lawyers in heaven, but there'll be no need for lawyers in heaven. There'll be no one filing lawsuits. There'll be no need for doctors. Hopefully doctors go, but there'll be no need for their professional services there. Don't want to say there won't be preachers there. Hope they make it too, but they won't be preaching, you understand. There will be no need for the things that we've needed here on this earth. There will be none of that. And you can take comfort this morning in knowing what won't be in heaven. And when you think about home, you say, well, what makes home home for me is I just am comfortable being there. That's the place where I just go and I'm just comfortable. Being there. I'm going to tell you, we are going to rest in eternal comfort in the grace of Jesus and His love and His mercy and His kindness towards us. There will be no more comfortable place for you than heaven's pure world. And don't we long to go there? I thank you for your good attention.
I've been studying for at least 2 weeks and perhaps longer on a subject matter I never tried to preach on before in my life, and it is strangers and pilgrims. That's the subject.